This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Got you.
No, he didn't get me because almost. I actually stopped in time, yeah. But I was like, he does that to me intentionally. Back for the final hour of The Usual Suspects. It has been a guest-filled extravaganza of fun, games, comedy, and more on an FEF Friday. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel, as we normally do on an FEF Friday. And intern Andrew, who was able to overcome quite a bit of adversity and coming from 28-3 down.
Yeah. That was very Patriots-Falcons last year's Super Bowl. It was tortoise in the hair. It was Patriots-Jacksonville this year. That was quite the comeback. Did you plan that?
You know, I got to let Trey have his moment in the sunlight.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you got to close out.
And you're a closer.
Got to close.
That's right. Now, I've been meaning to ask you guys this without Trey in the room because I wanted to know, how much do the rest of the interns hate him?
Oh, we love Trey.
You don't have to lie. He's not here. Trey. And I get it because Trey's an attention whore. And so it takes some of the shine off of you guys who deserve it just as much as he does. So are you guys like plotting to like soap party him like in Full Metal Jacket?
Waterboard?
This is on the low. This is off the record.
Yeah, right? Off the record. So
completely.
The next time Trey goes into the restroom, he may not come back. We'll see what happens.
Okay. I'm with it. Yeah. You guys are going to run a train on him?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. My bad. I thought something else.
Went right there.
All right. Yeah, everybody is freaking
after
out.
After the wife comment, all bets are off.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, yeah, no, he's not. I even refrained this morning when I was going to say something. So
dropping the R-bomb on him?
Yeah.
I mean, did on the air.
Yeah, well, it's all right.
You know, he actually did the tortoise and the hare because he has all the hair.
Yeah,
too,
somebody tweeted and said, why doesn't Trey's voice match his body?
That was the best.
Nothing can match that body. Nothing.
Yeah, he would have to sound like Barry White if his voice was going to match his body. He would definitely have to do that. Okay, so Andrew, congratulations on the big win. Mm-hmm. That's a good deal. Now, are you prepared to break down the Super Bowl? Have you done research?
Yeah, so you guys had the guest Billy in, and that gave me a little extra time to look some stuff up before my completely unfounded opinion on why the Eagles are going to win.
Oh!
Those cheat notes you have in front of you?
A little bit cheat notes, uh-huh. Yeah.
So, right, well, that's good. You came prepared, like a radio guy, right? I mean, we would come prepared. Do you not make notes?
We would, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm good.
Don't give all radio guys that credit.
That's true.
Okay.
Some guys just come in and wing it.
Flip it on.
That's true.
And rely on Twitter.
Now,
wow.
Shots fired again.
And you guys know
no, not
was.
You.
That was not you at all.
No, not you. A guy on another station.
Ah, okay. I see.
Yeah. Okay, so Andrew, I'm curious. Let's get your thoughts on, before we get to the prop bets, let's get your thoughts on the game. How do you see this going?
I see it being a little bit higher scoring. I would personally take the over. The score I've got is Eagles 27-24 over the Patriots. And I mean, we all know the blueprint for beating the Tom Brady and the Patriots, right?
Okay.
You've got to get a pass rush without blitzing. Even though Brady's great against pressure, regardless, you need to have enough people in the secondary to cover while you're getting pressure in his face. I mean, the Giants showed that's the way you beat him. That's the only two times he's lost in the Super Bowl is when people have been able to do that. And the Eagles, that's one of the things they've been doing throughout the season. They've got an above average pass rush, but they almost never blitz. They blitz like 20% of the time around there, and they're still able to get above average pass rush. So if they're able to do that, I think that they've got a great shot of disrupting Brady and giving him enough problems that where their running game with Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount can move the ball enough, get them some points to win the game.
Okay.
Now look, he did some homework.
I like that.
That was
fantastic. A great answer.
I liked it a lot.
Now, if you like I do with Joel, because he'll give an opinion, and if I disagree or have different thoughts, I'm going to ask you, why do you not think that would work both ways with putting pressure on Nick Foles? Are you just completely confident that Nick Foles can win this game?
Oh, I've got very little confidence in Nick Foles. I don't like the Patriots, so that's part of the reason why I went with Eagles in the pick. Some of my bias bled into the pick a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, now you're letting your bias creep into this, and you're not being just a
neutral.
So if
you put money on this, say we gave you $10,000, but had to spend it all on this bet, one way or the other. Would you change your bet?
You know, I'm still going to go Eagles with this. I would still go Eagles.
Really?
Eagles with the points, yeah.
Now, that money could have been yours.
No, I'm saying, okay, let's take it a step further. gun to your head.
Wow. You are just going off the rails.
If you're wrong, you die. Who are you picking?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Eagles.
I'm still going with the Eagles. You're a liar. Anyone in their right mind has crept in,
but that doesn't mean that this isn't actually my pick.
Anyone in their right mind would pick the Patriots if their life was on the line.
I think you're right. Tom Brady. I think you're absolutely right.
It's okay that you have a bias. Like Joel, he's rooting against the Patriots, but at the end of the day, because he's a professional radio guy, he's not going to let his bias determine his pick.
Right.
Unless it's the Packers. Then we know that. So unless you're a Philly guy or a New England guy, I would still expect you as a radio guy to pick with your head and not with your heart or your bias. So if you were doing that, how would you pick it?
Solely with my head.
Okay.
I mean, like you're trying to get me to say I want, like, I would
just
pick the Patriots.
I'm just trying to get to the root here. I'm trying to get to the truth.
I mean, legitimately, I think the Eagles are going to win this game.
Okay.
I legitimately think the Eagles are going to win this game, and I also want the Eagles to win this game.
Okay.
You'd also put your life on it.
I would. I did say I would put my life on it, and I probably misspoke a little bit there, because at the end of the day, if it's Tom Brady versus Nick Foles, which is what the quarterback matchup is, no one in their right mind is going to say, I've got confidence in Nick Foles to win against Tom Brady.
All right, what color will Pink's hair be? White, blonde, red, pink, blue, purple, green, or brown, purple? White, blonde is the favorite at plus 125.
I'm going to go with blue, purple.
Blue, purple, Joel?
I'm going to go white, pink.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go red, pink.
Is that what the
250?
Yeah.
Now, is it her that's a big Eagles fan?
I don't know. She's the one that does all the climbing.
If she's
and
a big
gymnastics.
Eagles fan, then green at plus 500 might be a sneaky bet there on that prop bet. Dilly Dilly, over under 12.5 total broadcasts.
Including commercials?
Anheuser-Busch has confirmed one 60-second spot. In 2015, they had a 30-second spot. So they're asking over under 12.5 on total broadcast of Dilly Dilly. Yes,
that's just commercials, not in the actual game broadcast?
Yep.
Under,
okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Color of the Gatorade on the winning coach? Green, orange, red, blue, or purple? Lime green is the favorite.
Green.
I'm going to go red, because if the Patriots win, it's going to be red.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm going to go at blue at plus 1,000.
Oh, blue's in there too?
Yeah blue.
I'm going to go blue.
Okay.
Blue.
And then Super Bowl MVP. I'm just going to let you pick it. Tom Brady is a minus 110. He's the favorite. Gronk is plus 900, and Foles is plus 325, but you can throw out any of them. Amendola, Ajayi. Who's your Super Bowl MVP?
Since I picked Eagles 27-24, I'm going to go Chris Long.
Okay. Chris Long, not even listed on this list.
Oh. Not Fletcher Cox?
Yeah. Chris Long had a fantastic game against the Minnesota Vikings. He's been, over the past 6 weeks heading into the playoffs, he's probably been their best defensive lineman in terms of getting pressure. So I expect him to have a great game tonight.
This man is prepared. This man is ready. Who's your MVP, Joel?
If I had to pick it right now, it's between two guys. It's between Danny Amendola and James White.
Okay.
White won it last year. I'll go Amendola.
Okay. Amendola is a plus 1,800. James White, plus 4,000.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with Tom Brady at minus 110. I know that's the easy pick, but look what he did against the Jags. They don't win that game if it's not for Tom Brady.
Plus, if it's Amendola, he's getting the ball from,
Tom Brady, so, yeah.
You're probably right.
All right. Fantastic job, Andrew.
Appreciate you guys. Man. Thank you so much.
Good job, Andrew.
Are you aspiring broadcaster?
Yes, sir.
The one thing you got to remember, though, is keep the microphone closer to you.
Yes, sir.
Just a little tidbit on the
way out. There you go. Look, you learned something, too.
You learned stuff on the way out.
Good job,
bud. All
right,
Andrew, thanks very much. Have a great weekend. We always appreciate what you do. Tell Trey. Yeah, he's okay. And we'll continue to go with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects as we are rounding out the week with a great show on an FEF Friday. As you know, anything goes. We basically cover the gamut from funny to football to food to all the things that we've shenanigans-wise gotten through today. And it's been a fun show. You guys seem to have liked it. We've loved it. And we're having fun doing it. We got some prop bets out of the way. We'll still break down the Super Bowl before all is said and done. But I guess spend a few minutes quickly on the hometown basketball team, because the Rockets did win again last night on national TV. They do it with Harden and company. Chris Paul helped. He played. That always helps. Not that the Spurs were impressive by any means, but one thing I wanted to bring up, because Barry brought it to my attention, and so I focused on it.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're going.
I got a lot more concerns about Clint Capella on the defensive end than I did before last night's game. Because one...
Now, would you make that trade for
I might,
DeAndre Jordan?
I really might, because here's
the thing.
I thought
you were ready for the trade.
No, I really wasn't. But at the same time, I watched the matchup, and for one, they tried Ryan Anderson on Aldridge instead, because that sends a clear message they didn't trust Capella, either to get in foul trouble or to be able to do it. And then aside from what we give him credit for, which is, you know, being able to grab some rebounds, you know, block some shots, but man, when he had to put a body on someone in the low post and not get faked out by a move...
He got moved a little.
Yeah, I was disappointed. Yeah.
I think the problem with it is when he is getting dominated and he's not winning the defensive game, the big concern for the Rockets is, will that impact his offensive game?
Right.
And will it wear him out? And will he get tired? And so I think that's a part of the motivation as to why they may have put Ryan Anderson on Aldridge defensively. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing anyway. It might be the situation where that's all they had to put on him in terms of defense. But if I'm going to put somebody on LaMarcus Aldridge, I might start with Clint Capella. My next guy is not Ryan Anderson.
No, and it's funny because if you look at the box score head-to-head, you think, oh, well, Capella really statistically won the matchup. 14 points, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks. Aldridge had 16 points, 8 rebounds, no blocks. And so you think, well, we'll look at Capella. Well, again, the blocks weren't on Aldridge. It was on the smaller guys. There was one where the inbound pass from Chris Paul bounced off of Capella's back. It was stolen by, I don't know who it was on the Spurs that stole it. Capella gets back just in time to block that shot. So that was a gifted block right there. That should have never happened.
Right.
So, but yeah, so if you look at just the box score, it didn't tell the story of the game itself. And I think if you, you know, Capella had a decent game. But in that one-on-one matchup, when he had to defend LaMarcus Aldridge, I didn't feel like he did a very good job. You could tell that he was overmatched again.
Yeah.
And so it is a bit concerning.
Aldridge is just a bigger, stronger, way more experienced dude. And that's just a lot to deal with for Clint right now, I think. But
he's a tough guy for anybody to handle.
I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge. To me. How many minutes did Nene play?
Nene played 13 minutes.
See? Yeah. And that also concerns me, because there's a guy that, at least from an intelligent veteran perspective, can do some things. And that starts to make me wonder, how long could he go if he had to go anyway? And again, you start getting into what the factors of what hurt them last year till he got hurt, which is what they're trying to prevent now. That's why I keep saying, and I wrote the article on SportsMap about it, they got to get some help up front, because obviously D'Antoni's version of Montrezl Harrell is now going to be Tarik Black. He gave him a shot. He doesn't trust him. Yeah. And he's definitely not going to trust him in the playoffs. So go get you somebody that you do.
But how many minutes do you expect Capella to play? Is 35 too much?
It depends on how he's playing.
Because he played 35. I mean, between the two, they played 48 minutes.
Well,
so
there you go.
So is it too much to ask Capella to play 35 minutes a night?
It shouldn't be at his age.
As a top five center, top seven center in the league.
And D'Antoni has said that. He said he's 23 or 24
young,
years
old. Right. He's spry. He's not overweight.
The reason why they didn't play him so much is because he kept getting tired. And so they had to sit him down.
Nene.
But as long as he... Nene and Capella. It was for both. It was really for both. Even Nene. When Nene will get tired pretty quickly, too. He can't go 100% for 10 minutes straight, like 15 minutes straight. He just can't. But, yeah, I mean, D'Antoni's acknowledged that multiple times. So it's just a matter of him being able to deal with, like, the overwhelming aspect. And I think that's for both. Nene is not overwhelmed when he's on the floor. But you can kind of see it with Clint.
Yeah, I'm with you. I he's got to be able to play. And remember, I mean, Capella's still learning. This has been a breakout season for him, but that doesn't mean you don't look at Clint Capella playing basketball in the NBA and say, that's a wily vet. That's a dude that's got it all together. He still makes a lot of mistakes.
Sure.
And you still, but so I'm fine with him getting these minutes, because hopefully by the end of this season, when they get to the playoffs, he does have more seasoning on him. He has seen a lot more. And
I
he's
was wondering
ready
where
to
you
go.
Were going with that, because I was going to say, if you think that this team is ready, is in a position where they can wait for him to get seasoned and then expect better of him.
No, he needs to get it this year.
He's got to do it this year.
Yes.
Because you're not the Pelicans. You're not teams that are either on the cusp or have a little bit room to grow, so that they're saying, look, he'll take his lumps now. He'll get it. In a couple of years, he's going to be great. This team needs to win now, and they need guys that can do what they need them to do in the playoffs now, this year, right this very moment to start. And to me, he's got a lot of deficiencies, and that worried me.
Okay. But I'm saying, like, the last couple of years is when he's been learning how to become a center. And in the offseason, you can tell he's really dedicated himself. He came in bigger. He had put on some weight. He's playing a lot better. He's a focal point of the offense. He's, you know, last night, I think they said he was one of the big three, which I know you took umbrage with a little bit. But he is. I mean, he's one of their stars now on this team. There's no denying that.
No doubt, but let's be honest. If we're going to do a big three of the Rockets, Eric Gordon's going to trump Clint Capela. I'm sorry, I know their record when the three of them play together, and that's super. But when you go against the Warriors and teams like that, Eric Gordon is going to be your
third. He's the next option. Yes. He's just the next option. And that's been my problem with looking at this team from like an on paper standpoint. When you want to bring up the discussion about how they match up with the Warriors, I keep on looking at their first option, second option, third option for the Warriors, and it just sounds so much better when you compare it to with the Rockets. You got Harden, you got Paul, and then, ooh, Gordon. And as much as I love him, it's just a much bigger drop-off than the third option that they have on the Warriors. And that's, you know, it's just, from a scoring standpoint, there's no question Eric Gordon is the guy that would trump Capela, because Capela just can't put up the numbers. I mean, you saw what Eric Gordon did a week or two ago. He was 1 for 9 from deep, and he still had 27 points. So the offensive production from Eric Gordon is no question.
Well, it's because Capella's one-dimensional. I mean, if Capella's not involved in the pick and roll, he has no back-to-the-basket game. He's not going to face you up and hit a jumper in your face like LaMarcus Aldridge can. He's one-dimensional. He's pick and roll, slam dunks, and even then he's not always going hard to the hole when he has that opportunity. But like you said, Eric Gordon is multi-dimensional. He can shoot the three. He can run point if you need him to and get some assists. He can drive to the basket. So, yeah, I'm with you in the sense that as far as importance on this team, the third guy has to be Eric Gordon.
Yeah, at least from an offensive standpoint. Yeah, for sure.
No question about it. And that's, you know, the thing I would say, Nick, to kind of wrap up the conversation is for the comparisons to say, well, you look at what the Warriors bring to the table and your third option is Eric Gordon, which I'm okay with in a Klay Thompson comparison. Yeah, Thompson may be a better shooter or get more credit for it, but Gordon did win the three-point contest and he can shoot it. Where I take that matchup to the Capela standpoint is you're going to take Capela up against Draymond Green. Because if he's not your third, he's your fourth. And if he's your fourth and that's their fourth, that's a deficiency.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you're right.
Yeah. So, all right, we got a half hour to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere, as we'll take you all the way up till 4 o'clock. That's when Fred, AJ, and the Blitz will take you home and lead you into your weekend. We do it all right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, final half hour of the big show. I want to remind you, it is the big game weekend. And before the big game, if you want to soup up your man cave and get it looking just right before you have people over that night, head on over to Gallery Furniture. They got three locations in the Houston area. That means Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, in the Galleria, right across from Dillard's on Post Oak, and, of course, the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, where Max sits at the front desk, and he'll make sure you are taken care of and you have everything you need. Right now, they got a lot of sales going on, Mattress Max birthday sales going on. They're open till 10 p.m., and since he's turning 67 years old this month, 67% off select items throughout the store at Gallery Furniture. And, of course, buy $4,000 or more of furniture, and you get immediately 36% back of that purchase price in free accessories. You buy today, Gallery delivers tonight. And, of course, they're doing the Astros promotion again. They're billing it Astros 2.018. The second time around, if you buy all your bedroom furniture, $3,000 or more, and the Astros win it all, you get it all. That's just the way they do business at Gallery Furniture. So go out and see them. They're open till 10. They're open all weekend. Get yourself a sweet setup for a man cave and guarantee it'll be delivered before the game actually starts. That's the way they do it. Gallery really will save you money.
I wish I was, because we have like an upstairs in our house.
Yep.
But it's right now, it's just attic space, and I'm going to convert it into a media room. And okay, I wish I was doing that now so I could go out there and get it.
Yeah, I mean,
the longer I wait, the less chance that we'll still have a show.
I forget what they call it now, but it's like the electronically controlled
chair, like the leather chairs.
The sofas,
I want those,
and
so
the sectionals.
Bad. They do sofas now like that?
They do sectionals like that.
Damn it. You think Mac will give me a good deal?
Oh, yeah. You just go out and mention, yeah.
I need to get out there. I need to get my man cave in shape quickly.
Yeah, me too, right, Nick?
Oh, don't show off.
You know what's funny, though? I don't use that room.
Really?
I use it during football season because my wife wants to mute me from the rest of the world.
Right.
But for the most part, I was thinking about it last night because when everybody's sleeping or if I get Taylor to finally go to bed, I don't go in. I should just go into that room. It's basically soundproof, and I won't have to wake up the house, and I can watch it on the biggest screen in the house, yet I'm sitting there in the living room watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd practically
put Pornhub on the big screen. Man.
I don't know how to do that. I'd probably need your assistance on that.
That would be great. You do that, okay, I'll move on. Somebody said if he makes it to 100, do we get 100% off?
On select items.
All right, I know we have calls, but I want to get this guy's text in because it was pertinent to what we've talked about the other day.
Okay.
In the article you wrote for Sports Map,
okay,
when you said three options for the Rockets were...
Greg Monroe,
yeah,
Andrew Bogut, and...
Chandler.
Tyson Chandler.
And Greg Monroe...
just signed with the Celtics.
Yeah, and so their question was, if the Rockets needed a big man, why did they let Monroe go sign with the Celtics for $5 million?
It's a good question because it goes right back to what we were talking about, too, about forget Capella for a second and just talk about the fact that you need insurance behind both Nene and Capella, and you don't feel comfortable or confident rotating in a guy like Tarik Black, then you should go out and look at a guy like that. And I don't know if they've got something up their sleeve. I know that a lot of reports are saying now that they have spoken to Bogut, but they're hoping that he holds out, and I wrote about it in the article, that he holds out till after the trade deadline. If they can't get anything better, then they're going to go get him.
Yeah.
But I think if I'm Bogut, I'm pissed off about that because I'm like, look, I'm still a viable center in this league. And if you're going to make me wait, you know, he's hoping, I'm sure, for a playoff team prior to the trade deadline to come through and say, hey, we need you, come to us, and he'll go. So I don't know. You know, I know Daryl likes to roll the dice. I know Daryl likes to, you know, crunch the numbers. But in this case, you just let one of your really good options, because let's not forget, Greg Monroe, when he was coming off the bench for Milwaukee, mm-hmm, can get up and down the floor, mm-hmm, still rebound the basketball, and he's got enough sand in his shorts to put his ass on somebody and keep him stationary in the low post.
Yeah, I think you were spot on with the options that they had, and I think it's a legit question. If that's an area of concern, which I think it would be, let him go?
Unless
there's another big move.
I was going to say, if there's someone out there we're not thinking of that gets bought out or that we wouldn't think is going to get bought out and they do, then, you know, give him credit for that. But right now, I thought that was the most viable. And next in line for me is Tyson Chandler before Bogut, simply because he can get up and down the floor.
Yeah.
He can play fast.
Yeah.
Which is
what they love that. Yeah. You want to do the...
Yeah, go ahead.
Garrick is up on the phone line. He wants to talk Capella trade. Garrick, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? First time calling in. Love your show. Best one on the station.
So thank you,
man. I
appreciate
everything you do.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, man.
But no, I was calling in. I got in my car right before that last segment, so I heard what you're talking about, the whole Capella thing, and then what you just talked about now kind of answered my question. It's like, what other options were out there for Capella? Because even if we do go get, like, some entry-level veteran out there, couldn't we just do a three-man rotation on it, Nene, Capella, and then someone else who can at least just hold the inside and block? I may not necessarily have to worry about making points for us.
I mean, that's my thought, Garrick, is the fact that that's why I threw those three names out there. They're not expecting, like, major production from these guys. But if you have three guys that, and this is big, D'Antoni must trust them, because you had a guy in Montrezl Harrell who had all the ability in the world to play fast,
yeah,
play athletically, play above the rim, and come playoff time, he couldn't sniff a minute.
Yeah.
So Tarik Black's not that guy.
Well, he could play above the rim. It was his defense that I don't think D'Antoni was in love with.
He just did, and there was things he just didn't trust. Let's put it that way. Either way, yeah.
Again, he could block shots. He just wasn't good defensively. He wasn't a good defender. He could just go up and get a shot every now and then.
Regardless, if you could find me three guys that D'Antoni trusts that are veterans that have some experience, and Capella's one of those guys because he's been to the playoffs, I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I'm not good with Tarik Black, and I'm not good relying on, if Nene gets hurt, you just have to make it work.
It's too much of a crapshoot. In that regard, I am with you that if you could, and again, Monroe would have been a great option now that he got bought out. If you didn't have to trade anything, and there's $17 million under the cap, if you could have got him for $5 million, you're still $12 million under the cap. You still have room to make a move if you wanted to before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So it made sense.
And now, you know, Milwaukee just lost Malcolm Brogdon for a long period of time, so they may be looking to make some moves. There are teams that are still out there. The trade deadline is still here. So the fact of the matter is, there are still some viable option, and there's time for you. But whether you do it before the deadline or you look for a buyout and a pickup, I still think they got to do something up front before the end of the regular season.
Because just like Trey in the pretzel bun eating contest, they choked and blew it.
Yeah, and don't snowblow it.
No, and somebody asked, am I upset, or will I call Andrew a champion now that he is the expired pretzel bun eating champion?
He just won the first ever pretzel bun bowl challenge.
Expired
or
pretzel bun bowl?
Yeah. It's a yearly thing.
I don't know if I'm ready to crown him a champion.
Nick and I are, just so we can shut the rest of it up.
He's the inaugural expired pretzel bun champion.
You can't even say it. You're like the
inaugural adds like a lot of syllables.
You like want to say lot. Asterisk?
No.
Worcestershire?
Asterisk?
We should have made him put Worcestershire on it.
Never.
Okay, so do you want to do the other Rockets?
The other Rockets call is coming from the ultimate front runner.
I know. Clarence.
When he's high on the horse, he's heard from every week and more. When he's taking it in the hiney, he disappears with his cat.
Oh, that's not true. Clarence.
Oh, yes, it is.
What's up, man? I did not disappear, guys. Just been working hard and listening. Keeping my head below water. You know how it is.
Just make sure it's only below water, Clarence, because we know your wife got to you with that cat picture.
Here you go with that cat picture.
Well, I didn't post it. You did.
Yeah, everything is all right on that front.
What you got today, Clarence? Rockets?
Well, yeah. Even with Clint Capella, and even if they get Bogut or Tyson Chandler, do you still believe they can keep up with the Warriors? And one more thing, Barry, you know you have to be proud of Trey for that little dig. Even though it was at your wife, he actually nutted up and said it. Talk about it was in the moment. Come on, Trey. Own it. Own it.
I'm not proud of him at all. I would have never done that to him. Ever.
Oh, God.
Never in a million years. I would have never done that. I'm never talking to him again. I am devastated by what he said. He'll be hearing from my lawyer.
I mean, is it safe to say that he's now afraid of Barry and not me anymore?
No.
He should be.
He might totally be afraid of both.
Barry moved up.
Yeah, he totally should be. I'm going to go flatten the tires on his car before I leave.
He's going to punch the steering wheel for
an NASCAR on out of here?
Huh?
You should shave his head. Go ahead, do it.
Oh, I do. That's a good idea, Clarence. I knew I liked you for a reason. Appreciate the call, bud.
Oh, my God, Barry.
What?
Look at the next name on the board. He's unreal.
That's awesome.
We've created a monster.
I love it.
If the board is right, Nick, before we go to break, let's go to the magician known as Q Dini. What up, Q?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, let me let you know it's a great show, guys.
Thanks, dude.
Appreciate that, magician. What you got up your sleeve?
Hey, I got some good news and some great news. After y'all got me fired last week, my job called me back, and they hired me back on and got a raise.
Hey!
Well,
they're going to pay me. And
you're
they're
going to
pay me for this past week that I was off.
You're welcome.
So, and I got a promotion, so, hey. Great show.
Dude, that's great news, man. Congrats, Q Dini.
So before you go playing with your magic wand, let us remind you that because we got you a raise and got you back on the job, and it's the greatest show on the planet, our anniversary is Tuesday, the gift should be in the mail.
Oh, you know it.
And don't be throwing any of your coworkers onto the bus. You never know when you'll be let go and called back.
All right, appreciate it. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks,
appreciate
brother. The call, have a good Q. weekend. There you go. Q Dini.
By the way, I totally don't believe him that he lost his job.
I don't either. I totally think he's probably on vacation.
I don't believe him either, but he seems like a nice caller.
Yeah.
They all listen, which is great, but he was probably on vacation.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. He probably, I also don't believe that he got a raise.
Yeah, how do you get fired, unfired, and then get the raise? That part was...
And they were like, what?
We can't live without Q. I can tell you the sexual harassment charges were proved to be
they were
not
false.
There.
So yeah.
They had to make up for it.
That didn't make sense.
All right. We got 1 second to go before we turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. We'll put a bow on it next. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Pack your bags real good, baby, because you'll be gone for a
while. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the big show before we turn it over to the Blitz at 4. They'll take you home till 7, and you don't have to touch the dial because it's all right here on ESPN 97.5. I thought it very humorous, by the way, in the break as I was checking Twitter. And the Rockets posted a GIF of Clint Capella's 5 blocks, and Capella retweeted it and put defense, defense, defense. No, big fella, there's a lot more to it than that, but it is a nice start.
After we just...
We just got done breaking down how much more he's got to do.
Yeah.
How many of those tweets are done by the players, but the Rockets are asking them to do it, Joel? Because isn't that a part of their...
I don't think the Rockets... Look, I think I feel the like players sometimes are individuals and they're strong enough in their own ways that they're going to say, you're not going to tell me to do anything. If it's something like voting for themselves for another player on their team, they'll probably be more apt to do it. But I don't think if the Rockets said, hey, retweet this because it's you blocking shots, I don't think they're going to do that because it's kind of an ego play.
Okay. I was just curious. I felt like some of them are... Not that any of the Rockets' tweets are not genuine. I just feel like some of them are motivated by the team sometimes.
I can tell you what's forced. Every one of those vote and then just insert your favorite starter here.
Oh, yeah, that's actually the ones I'm kind of referring to. Like when they talk about when they're endorsing, it doesn't necessarily have to be for an MVP. It could be they're just endorsing their teammate in whatever.
Yeah, like Harden going off on the vote, Chris Paul. I mean, if Chris Paul had played every game in the first half of the season or most of them, and hadn't missed all that time, no question you got an argument for an all-star spot. But based on the amount of time that he missed, including the 14 of the first 15 games, yeah, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
But believe me, they're telling everybody and their mother. Let me just tell you this, how intense it gets over there. If, like in the past, when Harden wasn't the MVP candidate, but he wasn't going to start in the all-star game, it chapped the asses of so many people that it was like literally borderline threats if everyone in the company wasn't like voting every day and telling people to vote and get. Oh, it's crazy.
Wow.
That's when we used to go on that kick about MVPs being more important than championships.
Right.
Because that's the kind of stuff that shouldn't bother you like that.
No, it absolutely shouldn't. No, not at all. Okay, so somebody texted. Actually, it was all texting, no twitting. And he said, gentlemen, what's your take on Punxsutawney Phil? Do you guys trust a groundhog for your weather predictions? I mean, I think I trust him more than any of the weathermen in the city.
I'll say this. Britta Merwin on Channel 2 was the most impressive to me because she said, well, it says he saw his shadow. It was snow flurries, no sunshine, and overcast. I'm not buying the official result.
He saw a shadow.
I would go with that. Yeah, he still saw a shadow.
I one of the funniest things I saw was a comedian named Michael Day-Day. He posted, and they say... He said something to the effect of, they say that white people don't have culture, but then explain Punxsutawney Phil, which it's so true that at some point somebody had to have bought into the idea that if this groundhog sees his shadow, that that's going to determine the weather. And it's like, why does this become a thing? Why? And then a couple years ago, my favorite Groundhog Day is the guy's holding, you know how they hold him up every year? He bit the dude holding him. He turned around and bit him, and I was like, yes, run!
This was the worst grip short of Michael Jackson hanging his kid off the balcony that time.
Yeah.
This guy just completely violates the groundhog. Every year when he lifts him up, he's like, right in the crotch, and hey, look at Punxsutawney Phil, and Phil's going, that hurts, and... Yeah, I would have bit him too.
Yeah, I've never been a guy that's like, oh, hey, I love this. It's so funny. Did you like the movie Groundhog Day?
I hated it.
Did you?
I really did. I thought it was one of Bill Murray's worst, and
wasn't
I hated
bad.
It.
Wasn't bad. I didn't mind
I've only saw pieces of it, and I never got into it.
Really?
I just hated it.
Like on reruns and replays, and I never got into it.
I didn't mind it. Alex out there texted and said that if I need somebody to come in and do my man cave in my attic, that they'll do it. Not for free, I'm sure.
Well, they're going to
charge me an arm and a leg.
Well, at least you can hop around.
Well, that's probably true. I'm going to save your info, Alex, but I'm expecting a deal.
No doubt.
I mean, I need a deal. I need a deal.
But if Alex, I'm just saying, if the job's done well and he mentions it on air, you'll get some referrals.
That's right. That's right. That's what you notice. I didn't give the name of his company yet.
No, but I did.
Because we haven't done.
I just gave him a blueprint to success.
That's right. That's right. Jeremy said he's got his tickets for tomorrow to go see Billy Gardell. And he was asking me, like, well, should I get out there early? Should I do it? Nah. I mean, if you're going to the 7 o'clock show, get there about 6:45. He asked about food. There's really no good restaurants in the area. So it's not like, oh, you got to go eat at this place, because it's, yeah, it's, I mean, it's right there by 45 in the Beltway. There's nothing spectacular out there. There's like a, what was it called? Ojo Locos or something, like Crazy Eyes. There's a place, I don't know. It doesn't sound enticing at all. There's a bunch of strip joints around there.
Well, there
don't
you
eat
go.
There.
I was going to say. Dig
in. Don't eat there. But they do have, when you go to the Joe Joint, there's a two-item minimum. So usually it's better if you want to wait, just get some chicken fingers and a beer or whatever.
Trey loves them chicken fingers.
He does. He does indeed. So.
And Fable Brothers got back to me again and said to throw another one on the list for you guys for Super Bowl pizza orders. Order any three large pizzas. You get the fourth pizza free, so you'll have more pizza than you need. And probably will not be doing our weight loss challenge and having a good week, but at the same time, you'll be having a great time at the game. So, Fable Brothers, and anything, just talk to them, mention our show and my name, and you're going to get discounts and great deals and get your pizza there. It's great.
All right, before we get out of here, I know we're going to do our picks, but I had found these stats on Pro Football Focus that I thought were pretty interesting. So, check this out. This is playoffs 2006 to 2017, the top graded QBs in a single game. Since 2006. Number one on the list, Aaron Rodgers, 2010 Super Bowl versus Pittsburgh, 96.4.
Damn right. You hear that, Nick? Damn
this,
right.
I heard it.
He also has the second one on the list in 2010 versus Atlanta, 94.3.
Damn right, Nick. You hear that?
Then it's Russell Wilson against Atlanta in 2012.
Wisconsin boy.
Then Eli Manning, 2011 Super Bowl versus New England. Number five on the list. Number five on the list, Nick Foles, 2017 versus Minnesota, 92.9.
Oh, last week.
Since 2006, he's turned into the fifth best QB grade.
So that's going to sway your pick?
No, I'm just saying that I've always been saying, oh, Nick Foles, it's Nick Foles. And he didn't play great in the first game, but against the Vikings, they played really well.
Oh, no question about it. I'm not taking anything away from what happened 2 weeks ago.
The
taking nothing
defense.
Away from that. But it's a different animal on a different stage.
Regular season, passer rating for Nick Foles, 79.5. Postseason, 122.1. That's a big difference.
It's a different animal.
That's a
animal.
Big difference. Percent of catchable balls goes from 66 to 84. So, again, in the postseason, he's turned it up. And he's played well, and he's done it against a really good
Barry's
defense.
So, Barry's taking the Eagles, Nick. Who you got?
I've picked the Patriots. I've doubted the Eagles ever since they lost Carson Wentz, and I've been pretty much wrong
right.
the whole
we
way.
We all have.
Not me.
I think an interesting matchup, though, to look for is Zach Ertz, because with Nick Foles, Zach Ertz has done really, really well. I think there was a stat out there that said more than half of his catches are first downs. And so that's the type of offense that they're going to need if they're going to beat the Patriots. I think the Patrick Chung and Zach Ertz matchup is going to be really interesting. Ertz is huge. He has like a really like big catch radius that everybody's concerned about. And so Ertz is probably a key, like super key player for this game, but I'm still giving it to the Patriots 28-20. I expect a missed extra point somewhere. There's going to be some nerves in this game. So I'm going to give it 20. I'm going to say 28-20 for the Patriots.
I think there's going to be a late score for the Patriots. It's going to blow the spread out of the water.
Okay.
And I think 24-13 Patriots.
All right. And I'm sticking to my Patriots 24, Eagles 21. Patriots win by three, some turnover late in the game or whatever.
Okay, so we're on the same page, just a different score.
Yep.
All right. Another good week, fellas. Who needs Radio Row when you got it going right here in the middle of our show every single day? We'll talk to you again on Monday. We'll be, I'm sure, talking about commercials and the Super Bowl and everything that went down Sunday in Minneapolis. But until then, y'all have a great weekend. We're going to turn over to Fred A.J. Jong in the Blitz next. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great one. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.